Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. We're here all this week to mark the 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, the final chapter in the Vietnam War, with a series of special reports we're calling 40 Years Later, A Return to Vietnam. As I've walked and driven around Ho Chi Minh City, the former Saigon, over the last few days, it's been easy to see that it's thriving. There are many gleaming new high-rise office and hotel towers and more under construction. International companies are flocking here. The fast foods are here, even Dunkin' Donuts, but also Starbucks, McDonald's, Burger King, and KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Gà rán KFC là sức hút không thể cưỡng lại, vị ngon trên từng ngón tay.
Right now, we're standing in front of the Reunification Palace. It's draped in red signage all over, with a 25-foot-tall, full-body portrait of Ho Chi Minh hanging in the center, all in preparation for the 40th anniversary of Reunification Day later this week. Ho Chi Minh City today stands in sharp contrast to the images the world saw 40 years ago this week, as around 100,000 North Vietnamese troops closed in on Saigon.
The docks on Tuesday morning were crammed with thousands of Vietnamese desperate to escape from Saigon, who were going to attempt the impossible, try and sail down the river to the sea. The harbor was full of small cargo ships, full of people whose only way out now was this desperate, perhaps suicidal attempt.
After signing the Paris Peace Accords with North Vietnam in 1973, the U.S. began drawing down troops, which had peaked at over a half million in 1969. As Saigon descended into chaos in those last few days of April 1975, the final evacuation of U.S. troops was underway, down to mostly several dozen Marine security guards protecting the U.S. Embassy, plus other U.S. personnel at Tansanut Air Base a few miles away. Of the Marine guards, four were from Massachusetts. A fifth, 21-year-old Charles McMahon of Woburn, would be one of the last two U.S. troops to die in Vietnam just days after his arrival here. While thousands of American military personnel and citizens were evacuating in helicopters from the embassy rooftop, thousands of others, hoping to make their way out, gathered outside the embassy walls, which are still standing today.
As we, the press and the Americans evacuating, made our drive through Saigon to the American embassy, the city was suddenly choked with people, lorries, and cars, all chasing one American evacuation convoy after the other. Jams that the Vietnamese police tried to clear with their rifles, but people were no longer afraid of them. There was now so much more to be afraid of.
It wasn't even in the plans to ever evacuate from the embassy, and now we're in a position where we've got people who are scared to death all around us.
Marine Bill Newell of Hopkinton was inside the embassy compound. He described the scene as nightmarish.
There's forces out in the streets with weapons. People are trying to get over our walls. And now we've got helicopter landings on the rooftop. And
after the embassy gates were locked, panic grew in the crowd outside. 6'4" Marine John Gillane, now a Medford police officer, boosted his sergeant up on top of the 9-foot main gate to help haul people over.
Literally pulling bodies over the wall. You know, American personnel. You know, we were told, anybody that showed an American passport, get him inside the compound, get him out of here.
Then suddenly we too had to fight and claw our way up. And we did claw, and we did fight. And if it wasn't for one single American Marine whose name I didn't have the chance or time to discover, we would never have climbed our way to our evacuation. He hauled us up, kicking and punching Vietnamese who were clambering over our bodies.
On April 29th, the U.S. ambassador, Graham Martin, ordered a motorcade to observe the evacuation from Tansanut Air Base. Paul Gosgett, a Marine from Chicopee, was the ambassador's driver. As they arrived, the airbase was under rocket attack.
I stood outside and I actually saw a rocket go by. And just flying by. I said, oh, this is real stuff. So I was kind of like under the car a little bit. the rockets were lobbing over the facility.
And you could hear the gunfire then?
Oh, definitely. And there was a lot of flames and fires.
When they got back to the embassy, Ambassador Martin ordered Goskett to immediately evacuate Dorothy Martin, the ambassador's wife.
And I had my radio, I had a Swedish K submachine gun, and my revolver, and that's it. There's clothes on my back. That was it.
Goskett and Dorothy Martin were flown out to the USS Blue Ridge, command ship of the U.S. 7th Fleet. He was the first of those last four Massachusetts Marines to leave Vietnam. The airlifts continued through the day and into the night. Early the next morning, April 30th, the Marines received orders. No more civilian evacuees. They locked down the embassy and went to the rooftop, but the flights had stopped. New Bedford native Marine Carlo Silva was there on the roof. It was his 23rd birthday.
Well, it's hectic, because by that time, the Vietnamese knew that no more choppers were coming in. They figured it out. At 6 o'clock, the last chopper left. And we're wondering, where's the choppers? Where are they? They forget us or what?
Bill Newell called the wait excruciating.
At that point, I was really feeling the fear as I was laying on the roof. I was thinking about, all they need to do is lob an artillery shell in here, and we're done.
John Gillane remembered what his commanding officer, Major James Keane, told the group.
He said, well, we're Marines. We're going to defend this embassy. It's our Alamo. And that's when we all looked at one another and went, ooh, all right, we're in serious trouble there.
Finally, just after dawn, the helicopters did come. The last U.S. troops to leave Vietnam, including these three Massachusetts Marines, Bill Newell, John Gillane, and Carlo Silva, climbed on the next to the last U.S. helicopter out of Saigon. Newell recalled the time, 0735, April 30th, 1975.
0735, and then we were flying out over the South China Sea. I just remember that what a gray day it was. It was just very great gray.
Ashamed and exhausted, we took our turn in the long crowd of refugees inside the embassy compound and waited for the helicopters to come down for us. Our turn came, and 30 minutes later we landed safely on our carrier off the South Vietnamese coast. Michael Nicholson, News at 10, aboard the USS Hancock.
As opposed to the chaos of 40 years ago, it's peaceful here today, here in Ho Chi Minh City. We're right near the U.S. consulate, which was the U.S. embassy back in 1975. Bill Newell and John Gillane will be in the group of Marines coming back here to this site this week to pay tribute to the last two Marines killed in the war, including Charlie McMahon of Woburn. It'll be their first time back here since departing the embassy rooftop. When I asked John Gillane to explain why now, it was clear that the passage of 40 years has not healed all the wounds.
My primary reason is it's an emotional thing, Toso. To go back, honor the two guys that we lost. I'm hoping that this trip puts us to bed for good.